Chapter 160. 12th month of our marriage, I found my husband, at that time when my father spoke of him, to have sinned against the Lord, and outraged me by holding a guilty creature in my place. Was I to doubt that it had been appointed to me to make the discovery, and that it was appointed to me to lay the hand of punishment upon that creature of perdition? Was I to dismiss in a moment not my own wrongs, what was I, but all the rejection of sin, and all the war against it, in which I had been bred? She laid a wrathful hand upon the watch on the table. No. Do not forget. The initials of those words are within here now, and were within here then. I was appointed to find the old letter that referred to them, and that told me what they meant, and whose work they were, and why they were worked, lying with this watch in his secret drawer. But for that appointment there would have been no discovery. Do not forget. It spoke to me like a voice from an angry cloud. Do not forget the deadly sin. Do not forget the appointed discovery. Do not forget the appointed suffering. I did not forget. Was it my own wrong I remembered? Mine. I was but a servant and a minister. What power could I have over them, but that they were bound in the bonds of their sin, and delivered to me? More than 40 years had passed over the gray head of this determined woman, since the time she recalled. More than 40 years of strife and struggle with the whisper that, by whatever name she called her vindictive pride and rage, nothing through all eternity could change their nature. Yet, gone those more than 40 years, and come this nemesis now looking her in the face, she still abided by her old impiety, still reversed the order of creation, and breathed her own breath into a clay image of her Creator. Verily, verily, travelers have seen many monstrous idols in many countries, but no human eyes have ever seen more daring, gross, and shocking images of the divine nature than we creatures of the dust make in our own likenesses, of our own bad passions. When I forced him to give her up to me, by her name and place of abode, she went on in her torrent of indignation and defense. When I accused her, and she fell hiding her face at my feet, was it my injury that I asserted? Were they my reproaches that I poured upon her? Those who were appointed of old to go to wicked kings, and accuse them, were they not ministers and servants? And had not I, unworthy and far removed from them, sin to denounce? When she pleaded to me her youth, and his wretched and hard life, that was her phrase for the virtuous training he had belied, and the desecrated ceremony of marriage there had secretly been between them, and the terrors of want and shame that had overwhelmed them both, when I was first appointed to be the instrument of their punishment, and the love, for she said the word to me, down at my feet, in which she had abandoned him, and left him to me, was it my enemy, that became my footstool? Were they the words of my wrath, that made her shrink and quiver? Not unto me the strength be ascribed. Not unto me the ringing of the expiation. Many years had come, and gone since she had had the free use even of her fingers. But it was noticeable that she had already more than once struck her clenched hand vigorously upon the table, and that when she said these words she raised her whole arm in the air, as though it had been a common action with her. And what was the repentance that was extorted from the hardness of her heart, and the blackness of her depravity? I, vindictive and implacable? It may be so, to such as you who know no righteousness, and no appointment except Satan's. Laugh, but I will be known as I know myself, and as Flintwinch knows me, though it is only to you, and this half-witted woman. Add, to yourself, madam, said Rigaud. I have my little suspicions that madam is rather solicitous to be justified to herself. It is false. It is not so. I have no need to be, she said, with great energy and anger. Truly? Retorted Rigaud. Ha! I ask, what was the penitence, in works, that was demanded of her? You have a child, I have none. You love that child. Give him to me. He shall believe himself to be my son, and he shall be believed by everyone to be my son. To save you from exposure, his father shall swear never to see or communicate with you more. Equally, to save him from being stripped by his uncle, and to save your child from being a beggar, you shall swear never to see or communicate with either of them more. That done, and your present means, derived from my husband, renounced, I charge myself with your support. You may, with your place of retreat unknown, then leave, if you please, uncontradicted by me, the lie that when you passed out of all knowledge but mine, you merited a good name. That was all. She had to sacrifice her sinful and shameful affections, no more. She was then free to bear her load of guilt in secret, and to break her heart in secret, and through such present misery light enough for her, I think, to purchase her redemption from endless misery, if she could. If, in this, I punished her here, did I not open to her a way hereafter? If she knew herself to be surrounded by insatiable vengeance and unquenchable fires, were they mine? If I threatened her, then and afterwards, with the terrors that encompassed her, did I hold them in my right hand? She turned the watch upon the table, and opened it, and, with an unsoftening face, looked at the worked letters within. They did not forget. It is appointed against such offenses, that the offenders shall not be able to forget. If the presence of Arthur was a daily reproach to his father, and if the absence of Arthur was a daily agony to his mother, that was the just dispensation of Jehovah. As well might it be charged upon me, that the stings of an awakened conscience drove her mad, and that it was the will of the disposer of all things, that she should live so many years. I devoted myself to reclaim the otherwise predestined and lost boy, to give him the reputation of an honest origin, to bring him up in fear and trembling, and in a life of practical contrition for the sins that were heavy on his head before his entrance into this condemned world. Was that a cruelty? Was I too, not visited with consequences of the original offense in which I had no complicity? Arthur's father and I lived no further apart, with half the globe between us, than when we were together in this house. He died, and sent this watch back to me, with its "Do not forget." I do not forget, though I do not read it as he did. I read in it, that I was appointed to do these things. I have so read these three letters, since I have had them lying on this table, and I did so read them, with equal distinctness, when they were thousands of miles away. As she took the watch case in her hand, with that new freedom in the use of her hand, of which she showed no consciousness whatever, bending her eyes upon it, as if she were defying it to move her, Rigaud cried with a loud and contemptuous snapping of his fingers, "Come, madam. Time runs out. Come, lady of piety, it must be. You can tell nothing I don't know. Come to the money stolen, or I will. Death of my soul, I have had enough of your other jargon. Come straight to the stolen money." "Wretch that you are," she answered, and now her hands clasped her head. Through what fatal error of Flintwinch's, through what incompleteness on his part, who was the only other person helping in these things and trusted with them, through whose and what bringing together of the ashes of a burnt paper, you have become possessed of that codicil, I know no more than how you acquired the rest of your power here, and yet, interrupted Rigaud, "it is my odd fortune to have by me, in a convenient place, that I know of, that same short little addition to the will of Monsieur Gilbert Clennam, written by a lady and witnessed by the same lady and our old intriguer. Ah, bah, old intriguer, crooked little puppet. Madam, let us go on. Time presses. You or I to finish?" She answered, with increased determination, if it were possible. "I, because I will not endure to be shown myself, and of myself shown to anyone, with your horrible distortion upon me. You, with your practices of infamous foreign prisons and galleys, would make it the money that impelled me. It was not the money." "Bah, bah, bah. I repudiate, for the moment, my politeness, and say, lies, lies, lies. You know you suppressed the deed, and kept the money. Apostrophe, not for the money's sake, wretch. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she made a struggle, as if she were starting up, even as if, in her vehemence, she had almost risen on her disabled feet. If Gilbert Clennam, reduced to imbecility, at the point of death, and laboring under the delusion of some imaginary relenting towards a girl of whom he had heard that his nephew had once had a fancy for her which he had crushed out of him, and that she afterwards drooped away into melancholy and withdrawal from all who knew her, if, in that state of weakness, he dictated to me, whose life she had darkened with her sin, and who had been appointed to know her wickedness from her own hand and her own lips, a bequest meant as a recompense to her for supposed unmerited suffering, was there no difference between my spurning that injustice, and coveting mere money, a thing which you, and your comrades in the prisons, may steal from anyone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, time presses, madam. Take care. Apostrophe, if this house was blazing from the roof to the ground, apostrophe, she returned, I would stay in it to justify myself against my righteous motives being classed with those of stabbers and thieves. Apostrophe, Rigaud snapped his fingers tauntingly in her face. 1,000 guineas to the little beauty you slowly hunted to death. 1,000 guineas to the youngest daughter her patron might have at 50, or if he had none, brother's youngest daughter, on her coming of age, as the remembrance his disinterestedness may like best, of his protection of a friendless young orphan girl. 2,000 guineas. What? You will never come to the money? Apostrophe, that patron, apostrophe, she was vehemently proceeding, when he checked her. Names. Call him Mr. Frederick Dorrit. No more evasions. Apostrophe, that Frederick Dorrit was the beginning of it all. If he had not been a player of music, and had not kept, in those days of his youth and prosperity, an idle house where singers, and players, and such like children of evil turned their backs on the light, and their faces to the darkness, she might have remained in her lowly station, and might not have been raised out of it to be cast down. But, no. Satan entered into that Frederick Dorrit, and counseled him, that he was a man of innocent, and laudable tastes who did kind actions, and that here was a poor girl with a voice for singing music with. Then he is to have her taught. Then Arthur's father, who has all along been secretly pining in the ways of virtuous ruggedness for those accursed snares which are called the arts, becomes acquainted with her. And so, a graceless orphan, training to be a singing girl, carries it, by that Frederick Dorrit's agency, against me, and I am humbled and deceived. Not I, that is to say, apostrophe, she added quickly, as color flushed into her face, a greater than one. What am I? Apostrophe, Jeremiah Flintwinch, who had been gradually screwing himself towards her, and who was now very near her elbow without her knowing it, made a specially wry face of objection when she said these words, and moreover twitched his gaiters, as if such pretensions were equivalent to little barbs in his legs. Lastly, apostrophe, she continued, for I am at the end of these things, and I will say no more of them, and you shall say no more of them, and all that remains will be, to determine whether the knowledge of them can be kept among us who are here present. Lastly, when I suppressed that paper, with the knowledge of Arthur's father apostrophe, but not with his consent, you know, apostrophe, said Mr. Flintwinch. Who said with his consent? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she started to find Jeremiah so near her, and drew back her head, looking at him with some rising distrust. You were often enough between us, when he would have had me produce it and I would not, to have contradicted me, if I had said, with his consent. I say, when I suppressed that paper, I made no effort to destroy it, but kept it by me, here in this house, many years. The rest of the Gilbert property being left to Arthur's father, I could at any time, without unsettling more than the two sums, have made a pretense of finding it. But, besides that, I must have supported such pretense by a direct falsehood, a great responsibility. I have seen no new reason, in all the time I have been tried here, to bring it to light. It was a rewarding of sin, the wrong result of a delusion. I did what I was appointed to do, and I have undergone, within these four walls, what I was appointed to undergo. When the paper was at last destroyed, as I thought in my presence, she had long been dead, and her patron, Frederick Dorrit, had long been deservedly ruined and imbecile. He had no daughter. I had found the niece before then, and what I did for her was better for her far than the money, of which she would have had no good. Apostrophe, she added, after a moment, as though she addressed the watch. She herself was innocent, and I might not have forgotten to relinquish it to her at my death. And sat looking at it. Shall I recall something to you, worthy madam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Rigaud. The little paper was in this house on the night when our friend the prisoner jail comrade of my soul came home from foreign countries. Shall I recall yet something more to you? The little singing bird, that never was fledged, was long kept in a cage by a guardian of your appointing, well enough known to our old intriguer here. Shall we coax our old intriguer to tell us when he saw him last? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll tell you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Affery, unstopping her mouth. I dreamed it, first of all my dreams. Jeremiah, if you come a nigh me now, I'll scream to be heard at street calls. The person as this man has spoken of was Jeremiah's own twin brother, and he was here in the dead of the night, on the night when Arthur come home, and Jeremiah with his own hands give him this paper, along with I don't know what more, and he took it away in an iron box. Help! Murder! Save me from Jeremiah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Flintwinch had made a run at her, but Rigaud had caught him in his arms midway. After a moment's wrestle with him, Flintwinch gave up, and put his hands in his pockets. What? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Rigaud, rallying him as he poked and jerked him back with his elbows. Assault a lady with such a genius for dreaming. Ha, ha, ha. Why, she'll be a fortune to you as an exhibition. All that she dreams comes true. Ha, ha, ha. You're so like him, little Flintwinch. So like him, as I knew him when I first spoke English for him to the host, in the cabaret of the three billiard tables, in the little street of the high roofs, by the wharf at Antwerp. Ah, but he was a brave boy to drink. Ah, but he was a brave boy to smoke. Ah, but he lived in a sweet bachelor apartment furnished, on the fifth floor, above the wood and charcoal merchants, and the dressmakers, and the chair makers, and the maker of tubs, where I knew him to, and where with his cognac and tobacco, he had 12 sleeps a day and one fit, until he had a fit too much, and ascended to the skies. Ha, ha, ha. What does it matter how I took possession of the papers, in his iron box? Perhaps he confided it to my hands for you, perhaps it was locked, and my curiosity was piqued, perhaps I suppressed it. Ha, ha, ha. What does it matter, so that I have it safe? We are not particular here. Hey, Flintwinch? We are not particular here. Is it not so, madam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, retiring before him with vicious counter jerks of his own elbows, Mr. Flintwinch had got back into his corner, where he now stood with his hands in his pockets, taking breath, and returning Mrs. Clennam's stare. Ha, ha, ha. But what's this? Apostrophe, cried Rigaud. It appears as if you don't know one the other. Permit me, Madam Clennam, who suppresses, to present Monsieur Flintwinch, who intrigues. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.